Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from The Scarlet Threads. We're in part three, and we've been talking about how the Babylonian system has come into this new world, the world of the Americas. And we were talking last time about how just south of our border, the Pope had been trying to fight a republic that was starting to happen. Now that it was Romanized, but now a republic is starting to happen with a Mr. Juarez. And so the Pope has to react by sending his own leaders to Mexicana. Maximilian and his wife are now going to be king and queen over there, the emperor and empress. Well, before we continue in the Americas, let's see what happens in Europe. Only 6 years after this sending forth of the royal pair, you'll recall that the Papal States had been a given in Italy all these years. In fact, like Henry Halley indicates, from 754 AD, the poor management of these states was openly decried, the Papal States, the temporal kingdom of the popes. Well, in 1870, the cries are heard somewhere. During the reign of Pius IX, 10,000 French troops assigned to his kingdom had to be called back to France, war having broken out there. Well, seeing the Vatican unprotected, Victor Emmanuel, the King of Italy, takes possession of all of Rome and its surrounding states, making them a part of Italy's kingdom. So not only is the Pope without land, he's technically submitted to a secular king. It's quite an embarrassment to one who claimed to be ruler of all kings. This state of affairs lasts for 59 years, when Mussolini and the Catholic Church come to terms of agreement. You heard it right, Mussolini. And we're going to talk about that later. But two things in this connection. Though having no local real estate for a while, and very little to this day, the Vatican's control over wealth untold is no one's imagination. Wherever there is a Catholic nation, state, county, province, archdiocese, diocese, parish, church, there is papal power and wealth. Hear the wording of the present canon law. It's number 1273 in the canon law of the Roman Catholic Church. Quote, by virtue of his primacy in governance, the Roman pontiff is the supreme administrator and steward of all ecclesiastical goods. And please hear this. Pope Pius IX gave up his land against his will, and full of shame. The lessening of any power by Rome is never voluntary. I'm talking about the Roman Catholic system. Whenever they let go of anything, it's not because they want to, either though because of being overpowered or because of perceived necessity. Now, by perceived necessity, I mean that action taken by a child whose hand is unmistakably caught in the cookie jar. The cookies are just as tempting afterwards, just as vulnerable in some ways, and soon another attempt will be made on them, but perceived necessity postpones that action until a more opportune time. It's not as though Pius said in 1870, you know, it's time that we popes, claiming to be descended from Peter, we had to start doing the works Peter did. Peter was not rich. He was not temporally powerful. He was not world famous. Peter's feet were never kissed. Peter, as the lead apostle, was first and foremost the one to carry out the final mission given by the Master to preach the gospel to all the world. So from now on, I'm just imagining here, from now on, we will use no earthly means of getting this good news about Jesus to a dying world. We'll sell all we have, and we'll turn it into souls for Jesus. Come on, Victor, take our lands. Our hearts have been changed. We'd rather have Jesus than houses or land or... Well, what an absurd fantasy, I imagine, coming from the mouth of a true Babylonian-style king. Hopefully, what a reality for every true child of God. We can come down on the popes and be very fleshly, worldly-minded ourselves. Be careful. Let's talk about Vatican I. Everybody probably knows about Vatican II, but the original Vatican Council was just 80 years before that, and it's shrouded in some obscurity that I would like to lessen at this point. As we trek back to the American side of the water a moment, does it become clear to you that the papacy is in desperate need of a win? I mean, they just lost all their stuff, so maybe they need to gain some new holdings. Losing Mexico, you know, that republic thing that's coming. Losing to Protestants. Losing the papal states. Oh my, we need some help here. In 1870, the same year as that final loss, the papal states is mentioned, to the shock of his closest followers, to the horror of good Catholics everywhere, and to the eternal damnation of even more who will believe in him, His Holiness calls the Vatican Council, quote, for the express purpose of having himself declared infallible. The decree reads that it is divinely revealed that the Pope, when he speaks on matters of faith, ex cathedra from the chair, that is, officially, he is possessed of infallibility in defining doctrines of faith and morals, and that such definitions are irreformable. When the Pope says that something's true, biblically, spiritually, it's true, and you can't change it. Wow. Well, 16 years previous to this, that same Pope, Pius, there's a good name again, Pius has declared that Mary was conceived without sin. If he has any doubt as to how Roman Catholics will receive this bit of information, he shouldn't have. They love it. They accept it. And essentially, they give him the courage to do what he does at Vatican I, call himself infallible. But this temporal power, anyway, still continues to elude him, though he's becoming a giant in the eyes of his own and in his own eyes. The rest of the world still doesn't notice, and he finds it increasingly difficult to marshal the needed forces for clubbing people into the fold, as popes did in the heyday of the Inquisition. No, it's a new world with new ideas. But let's not be deceived into thinking that those ideas are coming from a new place. No, they're still from you know where. Well, we're going to begin now. Section 48 will be the last major section of this part. It's called the Lincoln Affair. Yeah, Lincoln, as in Abraham Lincoln. What has that got to do with Babylon? Oh, you will see. We're now in a time when bloodshed, which is newsworthy and can be reported to generations following, begins to give way to influence, which tends to go unnoticed except by the most observant. As we walk through these years, we walk slowly and deliberately, looking but not touching. Much cannot be proved. But allow me to lay out some observations. You see what sense you can make out of it. Having read it, you may wish to start an investigation of your own, or you may wish to write it off, but please do listen. I think it's worth a hearing. First to keep in mind is that there's no change in the papal position about one world government under Roman supervision. That's what they want. And in the Western Hemisphere of the 1800s, Only the United States of America stands in the way of such dominion. Have you noticed that about us? We seem to stand in the way of a lot of evil things, thanks to God. God has raised up a nation that would stand in the way of socialism and communism worldwide and many other things that want to take over the world. However, we're losing that status these days because we've become immoral, very immoral. And we're not sure, I'm not sure, how long God will still use America to stand in the way of what the one-worlders want to do. But that's not in the book. I just put that in there because I needed to. Well, let's return to Pius the Ninth. He reigned in Rome from 1846 to 1878. We've been talking about him. His statements made in encyclicals of 1863 and 1864, think Civil War, are most illuminating to one who would understand the era, the time. Now, as you read the following, listen to the following, keep in mind that in 1863 was our Emancipation Proclamation, and in 1865, the assassination of Mr. Lincoln. To the two events, many can see a link. It's necessary to remember again and to condemn the very serious error, and I'm quoting here, into which some Catholics miserably fall, who think that men who live in error and are strangers to Catholic faith and unity can reach eternal life. That's Pius the Ninth. He says, don't fall asleep here. Don't change. Catholics are going to heaven. You guys aren't. I'm reading again. Catholics should be always eager to try to free men from the darkness of their error and bring them back to Catholic truth and to their most loving mother, the Church. Also quoting this same Pope regarding Mary, during the pontificate of Gregory the 16th, our predecessor of happy memory, there was in the entire Catholic world a most ardent and wondrous revival of the desire that the most holy Mother of God, the beloved Mother of us all, the Immaculate Virgin Mary, be finally declared by a solemn definition of the Church to have been conceived without the stain of original sin. Where did that come from? Well, I quote again, the widespread piety of the Christian people so fervently desires to have, accorded to the Most Holy Virgin, by a solemn decree and by the authority of the Church and the Holy See, the Church and the Pope. End of quote. And where did the people get their ideas? Why did all the people want this? They certainly didn't get this from the word that was revealed to the apostles. They just believed it. Because, as I pointed out in parts 1 and 2, the teachings about the Virgin, not Mary, but the Virgin, were handed down from paganism and brought into the Church when paganism disappeared. Why now, though? Why are we talking about this now? Why is the Pope talking about this now? Quote, from our earliest years, nothing has ever been closer to our heart than devotion to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. End of quote. Nothing, dear Pope, nothing? Not even devotion to her son? What about faith in Jesus, Papa? I'm quoting again. Great indeed is our trust in Mary. The resplendent glory of her merits, far exceeding all the choirs of angels, elevates her to the very steps of the throne of God. Her foot has crushed the head of Satan. You want to see the measure of deception being leveled at the people of God here? You want to see it? Just read Genesis 3:15 for yourself. See who is to bruise the head of Satan. It's not Mary. But I quote some more. Set up between Christ and his church, Mary has always delivered the Christian people from their greatest calamities. Really? Just look up the word Jesus or the Hebrew Yeshua. See for yourself what it means. It means deliverer. Mary was not the deliverer, is not now. Quote, and from the snares and assaults of all their enemies, ever rescuing them from ruin. That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. 1,000 times hear it. It's blasphemy. The Pope has placed the woman above the Son of God. He shows himself here to be a true Babylonian, descended not from Peter, but from Nimrod. More to the point at hand. We were talking about the Lincoln crisis, weren't we? Okay, let's talk about that. Pius, this same Pius, quotes Gregory's 1832 encyclical, where he calls insane the notion that, quote, the liberty of conscience and of worship is the inalienable right of every man. He's saying this is insane, which should be proclaimed by law, and that citizens have the right to all kinds of liberty by which they may be enabled to manifest openly and publicly their ideas by word of mouth, through the press, or by any other means. That idea, according to the popes of Rome, is insane. What we have in America is insane. Is my history sense dull, or did I just hear the Pope of Lincoln's day call the preamble to our Constitution a thing insane? Well, aggravated, the Pope cries out further against those who dare to believe, quote, that the will of the people, manifested by what they call public opinion or in any other way, constitutes the supreme law, independent of all divine and human right, that the church can decide nothing which may bind the consciences of the faithful in the temporal order of things. How contrary is this doctrine to the Catholic dogma of the plenary power divinely conferred on the sovereign pontiff. Therefore do we, by our apostolic authority, reprobate, denounce, and condemn such evil doctrines. End of quote. The Pope seems worried here. What he does not understand is that when the will of the people is infused by the will of God, popular rule is a good thing. And when the rule of the sovereign is the rule of Babylon and Babylon's master, it's an evil thing. He goes on, Venerable brethren, you see clearly enough how sad and full of perils is the condition of Catholics in the regions of Europe, nor are things any better or circumstances calmer in America. Oh, true, very true. Things are far from calm in America. Please keep the Pope's words in mind as next time we talk about that period of American history immediately following the Civil War. The Pope does not like what he is seeing develop in America, which did fully develop. We may be going away from it now, but it did fully develop, and he hated it. A true Pope, a true Babylonian master, has got to hate true liberty, true freedom. Now, I have to put this in. This is not in the book also. We understand that when the will of the people becomes evil, then popular rule is not a good thing. If our nation were a holy, holy nation, then yes, we can rule by the will of the people, and the one in charge will go along with it. Of course, he will love to do righteous things. But now in America, the will of the people has become more and more evil. Whether that last election in 2020 was phony or not, there will come an election when evil will prevail. And prevail, and year after year prevail. When that happens, as it seems to be happening, then we are doomed as a nation. But that's, again, not in the purview of this book. Let's talk about this next time. What is going to happen now in America because the Pope is not happy with America? Good question to keep in your mind. Come back. Please do come back. And do look over the website, if you will, between times. If you have a moment, just look it over and see if there aren't some other things that will bless you here. So glad that you could be here. God bless. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.